Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
We started this series talking about that God speaks in a whisper, and so we need to listen, which is where we got our clever title. God speaks in a whisper, and I want to conclude today with a God whisper that is so small, you possibly aren't even aware of it. Often we aren't. And God's speaking in a whole bunch of different ways. I'm not in it as you've gone through this series, and you can check it out on the podcast if you're just coming along with us today. God speaks in a whole bunch of different ways, but there's a way I want to talk about today that is something that is so small, and it has to do with God's direction for our future. It has to do with where he wants to take us. And, you know, we want to know what the future is that God has for us. We want that insider information, that like insider knowledge. And what I hope to do is in one area of it at least, take some of like the mysticism or sort of superstition out of it where, you know, you feel like maybe you got to consult the Oracle Brendo and say like, you know, what does the future hold? But like, you know, I want to take some of that out of it and share with us today that God is whispering to all of us, and it's a small thing, but it's a huge thing. He whispers to all of us today about the future in the seeds of our present, is my point today. He whispers to us about the future in the seeds of our present. Because you see, God always puts the future inside of the present. It's kind of like this here. I got this fresh, crisp Granny Smith apple here that I just really want to eat, to be honest with you. You know, inside of this apple, there's a future, isn't there? We have an apple right here that we can eat. And you know, what's amazing is what we're learning about you know, DNA and all of these incredible things with every living organism is, in a sense, you could say, when you're taking a bite out of an apple, you're taking a bite out of the very first apple all the way back to the beginning, which is really like a wild thought. But then also, there's not only every apple that ever was, but there's an apple right here in the present, and there's a future inside of this too. There's a seed inside of this apple. And that's really the signature of God and his creation. God, everything God makes, reproduces. In Genesis 1, where God's making everything, after he makes it, he says it's good. And then he also says, let them reproduce after their own kind. Brendo's excited about it. He says, let them reproduce. Let it recreate, let it reproduce, let it go on. There's a seed inside of everything I've made. You see what? Everything God makes has a future inside of it, in the present, right now. And there is a seed of the future that God is whispering to you and I right now in this moment that has destiny, that has direction in it. You see, what man makes doesn't reproduce, okay? Like you can take two iPhones and they can go out to dinner, and they can be really nice, send nice text messages to each other, and you can put them alone in a dark room, and 9 months later, there's not going to be a little iPhone, right? I was thinking about date night. I wonder if 9 months from now, we're going to have several trips to the hospital. Maybe. Have to have the pastoral care team ready. Lots of flowers to send 9 months from now for all of our new arrivals. Yeah. We're growing this thing one way or another. But God always puts the future inside of the present. He always does. Now, we act like sometimes the future is just going to, and the direction and purposes of God are just going to kind of arrive one day. So it's like, oh, well, there it is. You know, you open your front door and there it is. But they won't. They're here today in the seeds we are sowing. And the big idea, if you only remember one or only write down one thing from this message, or if only one thing sticks, I pray it's these five words for this message here this morning. And that is simply this: to know in your life that you'll go where you sow. You'll go where you sow. I want to know what the future is, God. I want to know what the direction is. I want to know where I'm headed. You'll go where you sow. There's lots of ways God speaks. I'm not saying this is the only way, but one way we can know for sure, you will go where you sow. Scripture says this in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and this is often verses that we use around when we talk about money, but I don't just want to take this. If you've been around church for a while, you might just have a context. We're talking about seed and sowing. You might just think giving money, but it's something so much bigger than that. I'm talking about giving really everything, something so much broader than just finances. But Galatians 6, beginning in verse 7, says this: "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Verse 8, "For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You can already see there, it's talking about something much more than just giving money away. It's talking about sowing into our flesh, our own desires, or sowing into the things of God. Verse 9, "Let us not lose heart in doing good then, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary." The seed of tomorrow is here today, and the seed is God's tiny voice of tomorrow. The seed is God's tiny voice of tomorrow whispering to you, whispering to me. And thank God that he gives us seed, that he gives us potential. He gives us, within the present, there is always locked in tomorrow. Within what we have in our hands now, there's always locked inside of it the potential for tomorrow. There's something more on the inside of it. It's the signature of God's creation. 2 Corinthians 9:10 tells us that he will give us seed to sow. So what are some of the seeds that we, what do I mean when I say that there are seeds inside of us? There are small things, small seeds that are inside of you and me right now that are beckoning for tomorrow, that are whispering about the possibility, that are speaking about the future that tomorrow could bring. And I want to look at two of them. One is he's whispering to you in the seed of desires and dreams. He puts a desire, he puts a burden on our heart. And sometimes we think that's something that just annoys us or something that's just there. But it's a seed that is sown on the inside of us that then I believe it's our job to then sow on forward with that. He puts a dream in our heart. He puts a dream in your heart to build an orphanage, to be a missionary, to build a business for God's glory. To serve people's health and serve your community as a medical professional. He puts a dream in your heart, a desire in your heart to preach or to be a teacher or to serve political office or to rescue young girls from sex trafficking, to feed the poor, to help the widow. It's a seed of desire and dream on the inside of you that is whispering about the possibility of tomorrow. The second thing is he's whispering to you and I in the seeds of doors and opportunities, open doors and closed doors. You know, in my life, closed doors have spoken to me just as much as open doors. I love open doors. I love green lights all the way, baby. Come on, like, that's awesome. But you know, God speaks in the red lights, too. He speaks in the closed doors. Well, he's whispering to us in the opportunity. You know, the opportunity of just being alive today. Just the fact that we're breathing. We got out of bed, and we're here, and we're living. We have an opportunity. We have a seed in that. Today, the great potential, and what can you and I do today to sow into the future that God has called us to? Because the future, the calling of God in all of us is beckoning us, it's calling to us. Inside of this apple, it is beckoning the future of what could be so much more than just one apple. Inside of you is the future that's beckoning of God, that says there could be so much more. It's beckoning, but here's the problem is our belly is beckoning too. And today wants to consume your tomorrow. Sometimes we get so, especially when you get a mindset that maybe one day, it's kind of like a lottery mindset or something, you know, it's like one day, you know, things are just going to come up your number, that kind of thing. We can get so just consuming in today that we don't realize we aren't sowing or we're sowing the wrong seed for tomorrow. We're just consuming today. And my prayer for all of us is that none of us would go into just survival mode. None of us would go into a place that's just a no man's land, which is a no man's land where you're kind of not really happy with today, but you're not unhappy enough to really to change anything or do anything about it or really lean into God or really, it's just kind of a no man's land. I pray that if there's any of us in that place that we would be pushed and shaken out of no man's land here today because the future is beckoning for us. God has a great plan for us. There's three things that I want to look at that I want us to know about seed. And as we go into these things, just fair warning, okay? Like, you're not going to hear these things and be like, wow, Josiah, you must be like a horticulture expert. Like, I never even heard of anything like that with seed. That's amazing. No, these are all going to be fairly obvious things, but it's the obvious that we overlook, really. And there are things that in these moments, in this seed, there are things about that seed that we need to be reminded of. Because at the same time where we're talking about no man's land, there are some of you who have been sowing seed for a long time, a long time. There's that seed for that family member where you've been sowing the seed of mercy towards them, of love towards them, of words of grace towards them. And we need to be reminded of the power of that seed. Number one is this: the seed is always small. A seed is always small, especially in comparison to what it can be. Now, you know, my mind always right away, whenever I say anything, I almost, I think about what I would say to contradict myself in my head straight away. So I think of an avocado seed straight away. I was like, well, that's not very small, mister. I mean, I could throw that at your head. It would hurt you pretty bad, you know. But in comparison to what it could be, a seed is always small. They don't arrive as an orchard. They arrive as an apple with a seed in the inside of it. And sometimes we're just thinking, and we can get in a mindset of an orchard's going to show up one day, or we're hoping for that, but it won't arrive as an orchard. It will arrive as a whisper, as a dream, as a possibility, as God speaking to your heart and say, begin to sow in this person, in this direction, in this thing. The seed will always be small. Zechariah 4:10 says this: don't despise these small beginnings. It starts small. I get told this story in the first service, and I have to tell it totally right now in this service because my wife is here. I got to tell the total truth in this one because I was telling the truth about when we taught Bella how to ride a bike, okay? And I left out a small detail. Liv was actually the one who was there when she actually, you know, was the first time she rode her bike. Because we're going through this process of, like, Bella had her training wheels on, and she was loving those training wheels. She was like, these training wheels are my friend. I need these training wheels. And so I would talk to her about, you know, hey, we should do this. We should teach you how. And I remember one time just kind of thinking, oh, well, you know, be brave and bold. Like, direct approach is the best. Be like, hey, next time you ride, we're going to take off your training wheels. And I remember thinking that was just a really good idea. And we'll just, you know, push her straight into the pool. She'll learn how to swim. That'll be great. And she started crying. And she was just like, oh, Dad, no, but I'll fall, I'll crash and whatever. And then I was like, oh, you know, you'll be okay. And then even that night at prayers, she was like, Dad, you know, she prayed. And then she's like, Dad, do we really have to take my training wheels off? Do we really have to do it? I know. Can you believe you come to this church and this guy's here up here like this? And so I was like, yeah, okay, maybe that's not the best thing. But then, so what we started doing then, and this is where we started sowing a small seed. We started saying, you know, hey, look at that kid over there on her bicycle without training wheels. Look how fast she is. Man, she's so, you know why she's fast? She doesn't have training wheels on her bike. Because, see, we know this about our daughter, right? She's a goer, right? So her need for speed is going to eventually trump her need for safety, okay? So we're like, look at that, oh man, but you know, those training wheels are slowing you down. But hey, you know, that's all good. And so then one day she was like, she started saying, like, Dad, let's do this. And then one afternoon, just out of the blue, like, Liv sends me this text message of, she just got on and she was just, I mean, she got it in like a day. She's got on this bike and because she wanted the speed, right? Like, she started to realize, like, no, this is, I need my freedom. I need my speed. I need to be gone. But rather than going into like, hey, let's do something. Let's just go big thing straight away. It was something that, it was a seed. It was a process. It was something that was small. And know this, like, God's going to whisper something very small to you, but within the seed, even though it's small, it contains something that is incredible. I read this about DNA and our genetic code, which is something that's so small, but the human genome or DNA, the code of it, they said this: if you could type 60 words per minute for 8 hours a day, it will take you 50 years to type the human genome. So though it's something so small, don't underestimate all that is in it. It contains something that is massive. But seed is always small. Number two, seed is very slow. Painfully slow. So very slow. Especially in the age of instant feedback, right? I mean, I want to order my Uber Eats food because, you know, who's got time to drive and get your own McDonald's? I want to order my Uber Eats food, and I want to see the driver, you know, like Steve, he's picked it up, and I want to know, I want to have an up-to-the-second update of where, because I love when they pull up in front of the house, I like to just walk out right then and just, you know, get the flawless, like, I would love it if they didn't even have to stop, if they just rolled the window down, and you could just be like, all right, thanks very much. And just straight on your way. I love instant feedback. I love that. But Seed is so slow. We check right away, and there's no results, so we think nothing happened. It's like, I remember some years ago, I grew up, my parents were pastors. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm so thankful for it. And but that meant that every dollar that I ever got given, birthdays, Christmas, anything, 10 cents of it belonged to God. Like, I, you know, you got given $10 for your birthday. You had to work on a $9 budget of what you were going to get by with that because $1 was going into the offering that week. And so I had tithed, I think, everything my entire life. And then I was out on my own and making my own money. And I remember just, you know, feeling like I maybe wanted to spend a little bit extra on myself or whatever. And I remember I decided one week I wasn't going to tithe for the very first time in my life. Shocking, right? Because I know everybody in this place is like, like as soon as Friday hits, it's like, oh, tithe, got to do a Christmas. But I decided, like, all right, I'm going to. And I remember coming to church that weekend and feeling like I was wearing like a t-shirt that said, like, this man robs God, you know, kind of thing. And like being for sure that like the prayer ladies in the church, like the prophetic ladies in the church are going to come up to me and be like, I don't know, I just see like a curse and like a cloud. It's like I just see like you're just a thief and that, you know. And I'd be like, oh, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, I just was sure I could feel this was going to happen. But do you know what's interesting? It's like none of that happened. I went to church and the prophetic ladies didn't have a prophetic word over me that, you know, I was robbing God or anything like that. And so I thought, oh, okay, well, maybe I'm getting away with this. This is... And I remember then as a few weeks and months passed, but it was a funny thing. It was like, you know, I have more money in my budget now because I'm not giving anymore. And yet somehow I'm still not, there's no more money in my budget. I'm like, I have more than I had, and yet I still don't have what I need. And then there was this drift in my heart as well, where then even though I was giving less, I was more angry at God about why he wasn't taking care of me. He wasn't whatever. I was sowing the wrong seed. You see, it's an age of instant feedback. Like sometimes we think just because it didn't happen instant that it's not going to happen. But we need to understand this. Just because results aren't instant doesn't mean they aren't certain. Let me say that again. Just because results aren't instant doesn't mean they aren't certain. I don't know if you're anything like me, but if you ever decide maybe to do some crunches, I run straight over to the mirror and I check if I've got abs. It's a real thing. Because, right? I mean, you're supposed to be able to, you know, 2-minute abs. You're supposed to be able to do this for 2 minutes and then abs. You know what I mean? But it doesn't seem to work because the results aren't instant. But we have to know this. You'll go where you sow. And let me say this. I didn't say this in the last service. Sometimes we're like, but I really, really want it to go faster. I really, really, really want it to go faster. There's a way you can make it grow faster. There is. There's a thing that will make seed grow, that will make the soil healthier, will make things happen faster. It's called fertilizer, which is a fancy word for manure, which is a really clean word compared to some others that I could say with. Sometimes when we say we want it to go faster, there is a way that it makes the seed grow faster, but you got to go through a lot of manure to get there. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 talks about we rejoice in our afflictions because our suffering produces endurance, and our endurance produces character, and our character produces hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. But the core of all of that hope was suffering. And so sometimes be careful if you're like, I really want this seed to go like really fast, because you just might get a mountain of manure dumped on top of you. And God is like, you're welcome. Now watch it grow. Seed is always small. Seed is very slow. And seed must be sown. Seed must be sown. You know, there are very few things that can stop a seed. Like even an animal eating the seeds, they'll go around, and then when they pass the seed, it'll grow there wherever they pass it. There are very few things that can stop a seed. A seed is a powerful thing, but one thing that will stop a seed is storage. Nothing stops a seed except storage. Storing a seed nullifies it. It's not going to grow. Because you see, sowing is a verb. It's an action. Seed is sown in action, not intention. And the best intentions, but was there an action? Was the seed sown? Did it go into the ground? Did we take the opportunity? Did we share what Jesus had put on our heart to that person about Jesus? Not necessarily needing to see the whole thing happen in that once, but were we willing to sow a seed? A seed has to be sown. James 4:17 says, so it is sin to know the good and yet not do it. I think sometimes our seed is small and our seed is slow, and so we can hold on to it because I truly believe that it's not necessarily, it's like this big greed thing of like, this is my seed. It's actually kind of like, because it's slow and because it's small, we're like, is it significant? Does it even matter if I say this to this person now, are they just going to laugh at me? If we stop coming to church, does that really, really matter? I mean, in today's day and age with podcasts and all this, does it really matter? But you know, seed must be sown. And it's an action. It's a stepping out. It's an obedience that you know, we can think and we can theorize about what we would do in a big crossroads of obedience. But you know, what's often really shaping the course and the destiny of our lives is a thousand little opportunities of obedience. It's a thousand small things that seem so insignificant. But when we take the opportunity, or when we step out, or when we sow the seed. Because we need to realize this, that seed must be sown, and the one day when everything is just perfect, conditions are perfect, and I'm just going to sow this seed, and it's just, boom, it's going to be amazing, that will never come. Solomon, in his wisdom in Ecclesiastes 11, put it this way. He said, one who watches the wind will not sow, and one who looks at the clouds will not reap. So let me encourage you, no matter how slow, no matter how small your seed seems to be, in your life, keep sowing. Keep sowing. I know there are times where, you know, you open up the Bible, you open up God's word, and you're going to read it, and, you know, you're through the Bible plan, and you find yourself, you know, somewhere in some minor prophet or somewhere in the book of Leviticus or something, and, you know, and it's like, thou shalt not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. And you're just like, what kind of sick people are these? And you're kind of trying to figure out what's going on, and it's just like, keep sowing. The Bible says in 1 Peter that the word of God that saves us is an incorruptible seed. Keep sowing, keep sowing. It seems small, it seems insignificant, but keep sowing. Keep putting in, because you'll go where you sow. You'll go where you sow. So keep sowing. It seems small and insignificant as you're raising your children that you take that little extra time to be like, no, we're going to pray over dinner, or we're going to pray before bed, or hey, let, you know, we're just bringing those little things in, and they kind of make their jokes, and someone does like a thinking joke in the middle of it, and everybody laughs, and they all seem distracted, and you're kind of like, is this even going to? Keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing the seed, knowing this, that the seed is powerful, and you will go where you sow. You see, man, we apart from God are all about preservation. We would love to take this and put it up in a can of its own juices, and we're like, security, safety. Now it'll last forever. But you know, the moment you commit something to preservation, ironically, you've actually doomed it for destruction. Because the moment that goes in a can, it does, you know, it's going to last a lot longer than it will like this. But it still is going to rot. And we've taken out the future. We've taken out the seed. We've taken out the possibilities out of it. Then it's never going to be a tree. You know, seeds are powerful, but you can't put a tin of apples in the ground. And, an apple tree. Wow, look at that. That's what, you know, then it grows out. Other tins of apples come out onto the branches and all. And that's not going to happen. The moment we commit something to preservation, we've doomed it for destruction, which is why Jesus put it this way in Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, and the band can join me. I'm almost finished. It says this. He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let him sow seed, not living just for today. Verse 35, for whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Jesus says, your life, who you are, what you have, it's a seed. Today, this opportunity, you being alive, it's a seed. And if you make it just about my own self or my own consumption, ironically, the harder you try to hold on to it and the harder you try to make it what you want and what you think you need to be happy, the more it will slip through your hands. Jesus said, whoever would save his life must lay down his life. And Jesus has authority to say this to us because this is exactly what he did. He took everything he was. He came to earth for you and for me. Humbled himself to walk as a man, as God and as man. It's a divine mystery. And he came for us. And he laid his life down on a cross of shame, on a cross of pain, so that you and I could have life. God took the very best, Jesus, and he gave him away. He laid it down. This is a voice of wisdom that you won't hear anyone else, anywhere else. It's a voice of God speaking to all of us. It says, take the best of what you have and the best of what you are and give it away. It doesn't mean you can't have anything. That's not what I mean. It's a heart. It's an openness. It's a mindset that says, I'm holding it with an open hand to God and to others because I'll go where I sow. So I want to give my best. See, worldly wisdom builds bunkers and barns. It prepares for disaster. But biblical wisdom instead throws open the windows and the doors of our homes. And it says, rather than building bunkers and barns, let's build schools and hospitals and churches. And let's invest in our future. Let's have a legacy mindset. Let's put seed today in the ground for our tomorrow. It sees Christians who would be, it sees rich Christians become much poorer than they would be because they have so many things with an open hand. You'll go where you sow. The seed of the destiny of God is inside of all of us right now, and it's whispering. It's whispering to me. It's whispering to you. It's saying, lose your life so you can find it. Hold it with an open hand. Take the opportunity of life today. Sow a seed for tomorrow. Sow a seed. And I want to encourage you today, keep sowing. A life worth living is a life that is sown. A life that has meaning, a life that leaves legacy is a life that is sown. You keep sowing God's word into those kids, man. You keep sowing God's hope and God's future into your home. You keep sowing God's word into your heart. You keep sowing God's possibilities and purposes. You keep taking those steps of obedience, no matter how small they are. You keep sowing, man. Keep sowing, woman. Keep sowing of what God has given you because you'll go where you sow. And a life worth living is a life that is sown, that is laid out, that is laid down. Jesus said, unless the seed fall to the ground and die, therefore it cannot, if it does, it does that, it won't spring back and bring much fruit. So there is something, there's a sacrifice to it. There's a letting go to it. But in that, there is freedom. In that, there is life. In that, there is future. In that, it goes from an apple to an orchard. Let's pray. Father, I thank you.